You're listening to Awake, a men's podcast by Fellowship Bible Church. All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of the Awake Podcast. We are super excited to be back with you. Sean and I are here again, and we are joined this month by Doug Congdon, who's going to be talking through us on our next topic of the glory of God. But before we get into any of our material, I wanted to share a little bit of an announcement of something that's coming up that we want to invite you guys into. If you're listening to this before April 6th, there is still time, but on April 6th, it's a Saturday morning, we're going to be doing a little bit of a mentoring training for all of you guys who are interested in learning about what it looks like to come alongside other men in our church to walk through them through different seasons of life, to walk with them through different seasons of life. So if you're interested in that, there will be a link to register in the email. It's just an RSVP to let us know that you're coming. It's going to be a great time to discover what it looks like to grow in relationship with one another. So check that out in the monthly email. So Doug, thanks for being with us, man. We're super glad to have you on.
Yeah,
I know Sean and I have been talking for a while about getting you on to one of these episodes because we just value your insight and intellect and your wit. We're going to puff you up a little bit before we get the episode really going here. Yeah. But for everybody who's listening, for the most part, these guys know who you are. But just tell us a little bit about you, your role here, your family, ministry. Just tell us about Doug.
First of all, I'm terrible about this. I hate talking about myself.
Wonderful.
So I'm going to make it real quick.
Okay.
Been married to my wife for 15 years in August, which is great. We have 10-year-old Darcy, 8-year-old Harvey, and 3-year-old Corshawn has been with us, our foster kid, for 3 years. We moved back to Topeka in 2019, right before COVID. From 10 years in Austin, Texas. I did student ministry there, came here to do family ministry. So I oversee children, students, young adults, birth to 30 for now. And I get to work with a great team, and we get to have, I mean, it's heavily relational, just so many relationships in that ministry, which is awesome. So that's what I do on a day-to-day.
Yeah. I remember the first staff meeting that you joined us at FBC. I hadn't been here that much longer than you. I think I got here May 2019, and you started, what, midsummer?
Yeah. Wait, that was your internship summer? Was May 2019?
No. That's when I started.
That was your full-time.
When I started full-time. And they made you, like, stand up. Mm-hmm. You remember this?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Yeah. So I'll tell you, Sean. I'll tell you.
I'm interested to
hear. So they make Doug stand up and share a little bit about him, and they ask him, basically, you know, what made you want to come back and take this job? And he just deadpan says, the money. He just wanted it for the money.
I think, yeah, I said something like, I'm here for the same reason we're all here.
Yeah.
The money.
Yeah. I thought that was hilarious. Yeah. I think I'm going to like this guy. We'll get along well. So yeah, man, we're excited to have you, excited to do ministry together. Today we're going to be talking about a continuation of our conversation on our calling as men. That's kind of what we've been going over for this year, is really diving into the topic of who has God made us to be as men, and how do we live that out in the different spheres that he's given us influence in, whether it's our marriages or with our kids, neighborhoods, workplaces. We all have these different spheres that God has put us, and it's up to us to really discern what our role and responsibilities are. So today's going to be a little bit more theological, I think.
Okay.
And then
what have you done already?
Get into the practice. So we have talked a lot about the garden.
Yeah.
We talked a lot about the garden and really kind of getting into
how men should garden.
Exactly.
That's great. I'm big into gardening.
I did just plant potatoes.
Already?
Yep. I misheard my wife when she said, wait until after the freeze. And I heard, I don't know how I heard this, plant them 3 weeks before the freeze. So my potatoes are dead for sure. They're dead in the ground.
What a start.
I know. So I am a terrible gardener. I'm learning as I go.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we've been talking a lot about just kind of the initial mandate that was given to men and women in the garden to work and to keep.
Okay.
And so what are the implications of what it looks like to really to create and then cultivate is kind of the summary terms. Mm-hmm. How are we building things in the way that God is a creator? How are we kind of doing similar things?
Yeah.
And then how are we doing cultivating things like nurturing, you know, fostering growth, relationships, investing in family and friends and workplace. So those kinds of things, kind of broad categories of what it looks like to.
Did you skip the be fruitful and multiply, or is that a later you one? And will you bring me in for that?
I don't think we did talk about that much at all.
We didn't. No, I think we talked about that on Sunday in our small group, but made me think as we were, I was like, okay, what have we kind of talked about? Mm-hmm. And where was the multiply aspect of this? And I was like, I don't think we've got to that at all.
Yeah.
So it feels like we kind of skip over that a little bit. I'm not sure if we will get to something like that later in the book.
I don't know if we're going to talk about that or not.
Come on.
Stay tuned. Stay tuned. That's definitely not what we're talking about today. Curb your enthusiasm there.
Probably a lot of people thought because we were bringing Dog on, they're like, oh, definitely be fruitful. Yeah. That dude's a savage.
We are going to continue the conversation to kind of jump back a little bit. And some of this will kind of have us looking back at the garden. But I think for the most part, we're going to be looking ahead at a lot of different scriptures when we're talking about the concept of the glory of God. That's kind of the overarching topic that we're going to be discussing today, and how we uniquely reflect the glory of God as men. And maybe it's unhelpful to parse out the difference of the way men and women uniquely reflect the glory of God, but it's a part of our conversation. So that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today. So kind of the first question before we get going is, what is the glory of God? We had a meeting with our men's team about 2 weeks ago, and we had asked this question of the group, and everyone was defining, basically their definitions were all around like how we reflect the glory of God. And I just was like multiple times, like, no, what is it? What is it? What is it? It's something that we have had a hard time really defining. So I want to throw it over to you.
That's not just you guys though. Like, so to prep for this, because the glory of God is kind of an ethereal concept, it moves, it kind of takes on different forms, even in scripture. So I looked in my Bible dictionaries and theological dictionaries before I came in here, and there are about 18 different words that they use to describe glory, it's fame, it's honor, it's praise, it's excellence, it's trustworthiness, perfection, moral beauty. It's all of these concepts that kind of get rolled into one big, like, oatmeal ball, you know, just like, okay, I don't know how to parse out. You have to look at each individual verse almost where glory of God is mentioned and be like, okay, what is this one talking about? What aspect or nuance of the definition? So the kind of broad categories that people said, this is the glory of God, is this idea of moral perfection. So when you get Romans 3:23, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's not like beauty, right? And it's not some of the visible ways, it's more like that's his perfection. So, but then in some way, it seems like being morally perfect, like, translates into some kind of visible splendor or light, because there is it seems like the majority of times that glory is used, especially in the Old Testament, there is an actual visible manifestation. So, you got, and I don't want to just like go into everything and then we back up.
No, let's keep going. We'll interrupt you with questions as we have them.
Okay, good. So you've got, especially starting in the Exodus, right? So you got the glory of God showing up in the pillar of cloud and fire. Mm-hmm. Then Moses goes to Mount Sinai and asks to see the glory of God. Mm-hmm. God shows him his backside. He comes down, his face is glowing, right? Mm-hmm. And then God tells him to build the tabernacle, and it says the glory of God comes and rests on the tabernacle, and it's a cloud, and sometimes there's lightning. Mm-hmm. And then when they go and build the temple, then when God's glory, Shekinah glory is what we call it, you know, rests on the temple, there's always light with it. And whenever you see an angel, when Jesus is transfigured, there's bright light, there's people whose, you know, face glows afterwards, and they're just like, okay, there's a visible, something about being perfect and holy, there's a visible manifestation of that. And when we get transfigured and we're made holy, I think we get a glow. I think getting your glow up like is very specific in heaven, so it's gonna be real. And that third piece is like glory as fame, right? As praise, as fame. And so that's the one that makes the most sense to us as humans. I think when we talk about somebody getting the glory for something, or we talk about winning glory in war or sports, right? Mm-hmm. Glory means like being famous or being better than everybody else, right? Mm-hmm. You're comparatively better. And so you get glory in that way. So those are the ways in which I, you know, it's kind of still multifaceted, but those are the ways in which I think about glory. Mm-hmm.
There was, I think it was a Bible Project video, and they did a word study on glory.
Oh, why did I talk?
I'm trying to like recall it. It came up as you were talking, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think the Hebrew word that they most often use is kabod.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. We should just say it with a little more V, kabod, but yeah.
Kabod.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay, there's my lesson. and they talked about it as like weight or weightiness.
Perfect. Exactly
and I think
right.
that just kind of struck me as you were talking about even the light, the fame, the honor. I was about to say glory in the definition of glory. Never do that. That kind of encapsulates to me that picture of weightiness. Even when we think about like famous people nowadays, there's a weight to them, to their reputation, to their...
You give more weight to their opinions.
Yeah, like, you do.
Their influence.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yep. Exactly. So that just kind of popped into my mind. I was like, oh, there's a weightiness to God that's unique to him.
Nice.
So that, I loved all of your examples of that, and the light aspect is something that I didn't really think a lot about, of just the light of the glory of God kind of shining. And I even think about at that Moses scene when you were talking about when he said, show me your glory. A part of it wasn't just a representation of himself and what he saw, the backside of God, but also the declaration of his name. Like there was the content of the glory wasn't just light, but it was also the character, kind of that moral perfection that you were talking about too.
Yeah.
So those are kind of the two things. It's like, when God said, I'm going to show you my glory to Moses, it was like visible and there was some content of his character too. So
good point.
That was a great summary of glory.
Thanks. There's a lot
well
there.
Done. So, let's talk then, now that we're kind of in, we have our theological grid of what is the glory of God. There's this idea in the scriptures of God having this desire to fill the earth with the glory of God as, you know, the waters cover the sea, essentially. That's kind of one of God's aims. So what does it look like for us, or what is our role in reflecting the glory of God?
Yeah, don't look at me. Let's hear from somebody else.
Right? Okay. Yeah. What do you think, Sean?
Well, when I was listening to that Moses story, or we talked about it a couple weeks ago, we referenced how the further Moses removed himself from God, the less that the light was shown. He was able to kind of be around people more often. Mm-hmm. So just kind of that mental image of the more I move towards myself, the less light I'm shining towards myself, which would be directly impactful towards my relationship with God. And others, right? So my wife or my child onto that. So just kind of being, and I'm just kind of thinking physically what that looks like when I look at you, and when I look at you, there's just some days we just don't have it. Some days our hair isn't put together. But well, you can tell by the way that people carry themselves or their eyes that they're like, there is something different about this guy. They're right. There's something different. And that's what we're shooting for within our relationships with believers and non-believers. Be different from the world onto that, right? That's what Jesus calls us to do. So that was just a quick recap on trying to catch up on everything that Doug said right there. I think your question, how do we uniquely reflect the glory of God as men under that? And so unique, right? So set apart once again, makes me think, how am I going to be different in my role as everyday life? Sitting in here in this podcast room with you two under that, it's going to be the glory of God's probably just going to be shown through our voices, right? It, nothing unique. But when I'm out in the actual real world with non-believers, with coworkers, how am I uniquely setting myself apart? Mm-hmm. And something that has been on my heart lately, I just keep hearing the same story about how with Easter week, when Peter denied Jesus three times, the third time he used what's known as like maybe the F word or something like that. That way, people knew by me cursing, I'm separating myself, right? Mm-hmm. I think four letters, right? Not a long one. So for some type of curse word that said, I am separating myself from Christ onto that. Mm-hmm. And I think in that same role at work, there's a lot of foul mouth stuff that can happen in, you know, just daily conversation. Mm-hmm. And I think uniquely setting my apart in just a small instance is, and I'm not perfect of it, but just setting myself apart in language, the way that language is described, the coerced jokes, not going along with something. So I think uniquely setting myself apart in this instance is language. It's just like, what are your words being spoken to or from, and what are you, you know, how is somebody engaging in conversation with you?
Yeah.
So I think that's definitely one unique aspect of how we are trying to glorify God well, through my conversations under that and the words that I'm using. Try to avoid curse words. Try to move towards positive comments. Try to move away from water cooler talk, gossip, and stuff sure. like that. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that would be probably one of the first aspects of it. Yeah. What are your kind of thoughts on?
Yeah, Liam, what are your kind of thoughts on that?
Well, I was just thinking that is a super practical yeah. example of how you reflect the glory of God. Because if we're thinking about it as, in one sense, kind of the reflection of the moral perfection of God, mm-hmm. then that is one way that you do that, is that our character would align to his character, our thoughts would align to his thoughts, actions, etc. So that's our goal in our reflecting of the glory of God is essentially for us, Liam, Sean, Doug, to get out of the way so that the Lord can reflect more fully through us. But at the same time, through our unique personalities, wirings, and even the way that he's made us physically. Mm-hmm. So it's not to say that
you
are
a robot.
Yeah, when
you say get out of the way, you basically mean get your flesh
exactly.
out of the way.
Exactly.
But everything else about how God uniquely made you, he's using to reflect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that a part of that is our masculinity. Mm-hmm. We can't ignore the fact that we are men, and there is an aspect of our manness that is going to be carried into every interaction that we have. Mm. So I kind of want to specify that to you a little bit more specifically. What does it look like to reflect God with your masculinity?
Brutal.
didn't see that one coming.
I didn't. So, yeah, I don't know off the top. Like, I can quickly think of the negative ways yeah. in which my masculinity gets in the way.
But say that, and then maybe that'll help us kind of explore the positive,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, okay. So, as a man, right, some of the unique ways that we are made is we have testosterone, aggressiveness, competitiveness, sure. right? Some of those things that generally set aside our gender. And when we allow those things generally lead towards pride, mm-hmm. right? Wanting to be better than other mm-hmm. guys. Comparison's brutal as far as like success, accomplishment, mm-hmm. money, mm-hmm. those things that get in our head. Like whenever we allow those things to take root in our hearts, we are automatically, right, taking ourselves out of being able yep. to reflect the glory of God. So there's that piece. There's also like we live in an oversexed culture, mm-hmm. right? And as men, we are more visually drawn than our wives or women. And so we are very easily distracted. So we got the cell phones and we got the TVs and we got everything that would take our minds away from setting our minds on heavenly things and not on earthly things. Mm-hmm. So I think we're easily distracted, right? We're easily led into pride as men. And so both of those are killer. Like when I think about reflecting the glory of God, and I think about that Moses story, like he met with God, and then for days, right? Mm-hmm. You couldn't look at him and not see that he had been with God.
Yep.
That's my goal, right? Yep. I want to meet with God and do it so consistently and deeply that people can't help but see that I've been with God.
Yeah.
However, if I allow myself to be distracted and busy and not like, if I even sit down and read the Bible for 10 minutes, but I don't pray about it, I don't think about it the rest of the day, like I am not soaking in any of God's glory mm-hmm. to then be reflected because I'm distracted by my phone that went off or the newsletters I want to catch up on or mm-hmm. sports stuff, any of that stuff. So those are ways in which I'm like, yeah, uniquely, I look at my wife and I'm jealous of some of the ways that she's not caught up in the same right. stupid stuff that I am, right? And I'm like, ugh, I just wish I could be more like you. And some of that mm-hmm. is like, honestly, masculine, feminine, kind of like mm-hmm. generalities. So those are some of the ways it's hard. Why don't you like yeah. counter and say the really good answers?
Well, I think that what that kind of drew out for me was when you were talking about the negatives of just kind of competitiveness, achievement mindset. I think that's pretty consistent for most guys that I know of. There might be a few outliers here and there that just generally don't care
yeah,
about
don't get sucked
the
into
way
it.
They stack up against other guys or yeah. And I envy that a little bit. I think that's an honorable quality. But I think the reflection of the glory of God in that specific instance is how can we actually work for the good of somebody else, even if it means it's at our expense?
Mm-hmm.
How do we lift others up, whether through our work, through our words, with our finances, by giving generously of ourselves without expecting something in return? Like it's the perspective that I'm not going to do good to you just to like step on your neck to get the next thing or just to get like accolades from you. So it's not about boosting my ego or my fame or reputation. It's not about increasing my weight, to use that term we talked about earlier. It's about, you know, making much of God by putting the attention and the focus on somebody else. And I think that even when you were talking about the men's propensity to be more visually inclined in an over-sexualized culture, that an aspect of our uniquely reflecting the glory of God is that we pay attention to the real people and we see the image of God in the women that our eyes might be drawn to rather than viewing them as objects. I think that's kind of what's underneath the visualization that men have a tendency towards, is that we see things, whether it's achievement or possessions, and we tend to see women as objects, though they are daughters made in the image of God. They are women who are worthy of dignity, honor, and respect. And so a way that we can reflect God-like glory is to not see them as objects, but to see them as who God made them to be, to see them with his eyes. So that was kind of some of the specifics of when it comes to being a man. Those are unique aspects that I don't know if women struggle in those same ways. There might be women who are highly competitive. I know some, but my wife is not included. Like, she genuinely...
Same with my wife.
Genuinely gets excited if I win at a game.
Over her. Yes. Like, beat her.
And doesn't that just take a little bit of the thrill of victory out of it?
So you're does.
Like, no, I want you to
feel cry.
Bad. Yeah. And she's just like, oh, I'm so happy for you. I could go into this long story about one game in particular that she beats me in every time except for when
we
I
got some visitors in the background.
The game wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ignore the window cleaners that are going to be going on behind us if you happen to be watching the podcast this month. But yeah, it's just there are aspects of her femininity that I think are really honorable. And I love, and we should be trying to grow in all of those same things. And yet we have unique struggles and unique opportunities as men to reflect God in ways that some of our sisters in Christ might not have, because they don't have the same baseline struggles as we do. You got something on your mind?
No, well, one thing I was thinking was that when my wife and I were dating, she would tell you she loved sports. Now that we've dating and are married for, you know, a handful of years, she's like, I don't love sports the way that I thought I thought I loved sports, but you're helping me not love sports. So one of the things I was definitely thinking about competitive wise. So, but then two was just in lifting others up. It brought me back to the sermon a couple weeks ago on compassion, right? And having true compassion for somebody, I think is difficult to maybe understand for me, like fully, like, you know, I care about somebody, but there's a difference between caring about somebody and compassion. And I think having true compassion, the way Jesus reflected it with the story of the lepers, the woman who touched him, all of these things, is different from the way maybe I feel. I only feel probably compassion for a handful of people, not, you know, and as good as friends as we are and as well as, you know, we kind of know each other. I don't know if I have true, honest compassion for you. And I think that's just something to reflect in our hearts, that if we are trying to reflect the image of Christ, recognize some of these main pillars that they are, and reflecting and lifting up others, compassion. So understanding that, so I can better love you, pray for you, and just kind of come alongside you as well. But until I fully maybe understand what compassion is in my heart and in my mind and how that reflects our relationship, I think it's going to be hard to just reflect God's glory through different relationships onto that. And and I think that's easier said than done. Have compassion on me, but just like, okay, I'll pray for you. But that's not exactly the same thing that I think that Jesus showed us what we were supposed to do. So that's kind of one of the things I was thinking about.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, sin is what impedes our growth and compassion and love. And that's something that I'm asking the Lord for regularly, is not just like, hey, I just want to stop in this particular sin area, but it's like love is what's going to take over and replace that propensity to sin. So I know in my own life, when I struggled a lot with pornography in my college years, the point that I got to is recognizing that it was love for God and love for my sisters in Christ that was going to change, you know, my tendency towards sin in that area. And so it wasn't just about like, stop doing this, stop doing that. It was like, grow in love, grow in the love of God. And you do that partly through spending time with him, like Moses did, and spending time receiving that love of God, receiving from his just storehouses of kindness and goodness and faithfulness. And then with your face shining, you go out into the world and you embody that love to the people that you're with. So,
yeah, it makes me kind of think about that story in the Bible about how Jesus removed the spirit from the man, the evil spirit leaves, mm-hmm. and he doesn't fill it with anything good. And seven evil spirits come back in and kind of take house to where mm-hmm. it's just like your own sheer will. Same with pornography, tobacco with me as well. All right, I cold turkey quit so many times, but it was under me. And then what would happen? Tough day at work, anxiety, release, whatever it may be, right back to my, you know, the dog returns to his vomit, right?
So it's a great reference.
Yep. And until it was filled with scripture and prayer and accountability, mm-hmm. then it was always the same thing over and over again. So mm-hmm. filling ourselves, you know, it's like remove it, but fill yourself with the Holy Spirit, accountability and in scripture. That's the only way that we can kind of overcome our sin mm-hmm. onto that. So,
yeah, that's good.
Yeah, Doug, what have been some ways as you've kind of grown in holiness, as you've walked with Christ longer than both Sean and I have, how have you seen time with the Lord impact your reflection of him?
Sure. Yeah. That's real easy. And I would guess that my experience of that, you know, no matter how long I've been a Christian, is almost the exact same as yours today. So if I'm able to spend uninterrupted time with God where I not only read what he would say to me from his word, but also speak back to him and then give more time to listen in prayer. If I open myself up to that much vulnerability and connection with God, right, then the rest of the day, I notice that, I mean, it's especially slow to anger, slow to speak, and quick to love, like those kinds of like description of who God is. That is so much more true. So my wife says or does something that could set me off, my first reaction, because I am from a place of peace and right standing with God, is to take a break, right? To like breathe deeply and then just to see her and try to figure out, man, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Like, is this really something that I've done? Is this something that's going on with her? Like, so it's just being so much slower to react poorly to things, really. It's reaction. And then the opposite of that, the action piece, I'm thinking commission, omission, but the action piece of the difference when I spend time with God is that instead of Joe always does his like, put your head down and walk around really fast, you know, and he's this is what I'm like when I'm busy.
Yeah.
When I am busy or distracted, I'm metaphorically, my head is down all day. Mm-hmm. So my head is down when I'm driving, my head is down at work, my head is annoyed with interruptions, you know, when people come into my office. And then I'm just never... Those are the days that I get to the end of the day and I'm like, I don't know that I did anything today to further the kingdom of God, right? I just checked all the boxes. And on the other days, it's like, I am seeing opportunities where God could move through me and it's going to take me going and moving towards somebody else, whether it's the person on the street or the person who's pulled over on the side of the road who clearly has a flat tire. But it's like all of that space is created because I have started by putting that space in my heart, like in the morning. Right. Yeah. And if I don't have that, then it's tough. I'm like Moses, maybe a little bit, like I can last a day or two, right, from a really good devotional time, but it fades, man. And then I'm just working out of my own strength after a while, and my strength is not very much. So it gets really, really bad.
And I think that's a part of the reason why there's so much emphasis in the scriptures on meditating day and night, meditating on God's word day and night, on who he is and what he's done regularly. Because that does stick with us. It kind of sustains us in those, you know, in those dry seasons and those desert seasons that we face. And it's just so important for us to be spending consistent time with the Lord. And guys, it can look different. It doesn't have to look exactly the same way that it looks for Doug. It doesn't have to look like the exact way that it looks for Joe or me or Sean. Like, you have a relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. So spend time with him. The way you do that, whether it's walking in your neighborhood, whether it's sitting in a quiet room, whether it's reading or listening to the word.
Yeah. Like, I had a guy in accountability the other day, talk about his struggles, spend time with God, mm-hmm. and then throughout the conversation realize like he has a 24-minute commute to and from work every mm-hmm. day. And I was like, dude, what are you doing with that time? That's perfect. Mm-hmm. So this week he started listening to the scripture that we're reading through and then spending time in prayer. And I was like, yeah.
It's perfect.
That's 50 minutes, dude, yep. a day you're spending with Jesus. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So we all have, I believe, you know, I know there are people busier than me out there. Mm-hmm. We all have space that we can 100%. Create in our life for. And it does look different for everybody.
Yeah. And one of the psalmists in one of the books that I was reading brings up how his prayer like wakes him up in the morning, right? Mm-hmm. He says like, get out of my sleep, draw life and wake up to prayer onto that. And, you know, I can think of how many times my alarm goes off at 5 and I'm wide awake right there. It's like, okay, I could start my day, but sometimes I don't die to the flesh. Yeah, maybe another 45 minutes sounds good.
Yeah.
You wake up 45 minutes later, you're like, I am in a slumber yeah. to compared mm-hmm. to like, you know, God, you know, woke me up within mm-hmm. that. So I know it looks different, but sometimes starting those mornings or before we get going with the busyness of the day, being able to pray or meditate on a verse for the 5 minutes, mm-hmm. the 10 minutes that we need, it's not going to change everything drastically, but it starts to change the perspective you need for that first conversation or that first mm-hmm. moment of... there are times when I will go out to the living room, meditate for a little while. I'm thinking I'm having a great day. And my wife just like, what are you doing? You know, kind of deal. It's just like, I thought I was, you know, doing good, you know? Yeah. And so then just like you said, then if I'm not if my heart's not in a good posture, I'm quick to react. I'm quick to anger. I'm quick to speak. You know, I don't need any help being, you know, mm-hmm. being quick to speak. It's the opposite. So just even with our significant others and how quickly it feels like we go from scripture or, you know, that friend of yours spending 25 minutes in the car while he's driving, and Joe references all the time, oh, somebody pulls out in front of him, you know, oh, God is so good. God, you're so good. Whips out in front of you. What in the world?
Yeah.
You know, and then everything kind of changes, right? So it just shows you we're quick to anger. And so getting that day started with a posture and heart of God, whether it's 5 minutes or an hour, sets perspective for the rest of your conversations. And like we were kind of just talking, you're not objectifying material things. You're not objectifying women or men. You're seeing God's goodness for what mm-hmm. it is, and it's not every day, but it's little by little, you know, just trying to reflect Christ a little bit more.
Yeah. If I could kind of tie a bow on pull some of the threads together in our conversation, some of the things that I'm thinking about right now is like a part of this process of growing in our reflection of the glory of God is first to recognize the glory of our Heavenly Father. We have to first recognize his weightiness, and an aspect of his weightiness is his authority, and that he deserves our ear. He deserves our attention. He is worthy of our obedience. He's worthy of our whole lives. And then from there, it's also recognizing the weightiness in our own lives. In other words, like the influence that we have, and then how are we using that influence to glorify God, to make more of God, and to honor people, honor, serve, and love people, rather than using our own weightiness for our own ends. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where I'm thinking right now. It's like, man, recognize the weight of God, recognize the weightiness in your own life, because we all have a certain amount of influence that we carry with us. But, you know, we want to use our strength for the love and compassion and kindness towards others. And in that way, we reflect Christ. There's no other man in this world who walked with the full weight of the glory of God and did not use that glory for his own ends, did not use that power for his own ends, but served, lived, and then died for our sake, that we might have relationship with God again and restored relationships with one another. So in this, let's follow the way of Jesus. I think that's what better summary is there for our understanding of the glory of God and how we live it out, other than look at Jesus and let's follow in his footsteps. So guys, do you have any other final thoughts or comments on the glory of God before we wrap up this month's episode?
What you got, Doug?
Nothing.
Awesome.
No, I'm good. Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay. Doug, thank you so much for being on the episode with us.
Thanks
we
for
appreciate it. Guys, we are looking forward to just your time together with your brothers in your Awake groups. These times that we spend together around the table, entering into these conversations, are meant not only to deepen relationships with God, but also with one another, that we might go out and actually live differently because of that. We're not just here to puff ourselves up with knowledge or just have good conversations. Mm-hmm. We actually want to see transformation happen. And a big way that that happens is in relationship. So I highly, highly encourage you guys to continue meeting with your Awake groups. If you don't have one, but you're interested in getting into one, let me know. My email is always in our monthly emails, and you can reach out to me anytime. Would love to help you grow in your relationship with God and with other brothers. So with that, thank you for listening to another episode of the Awake Podcast. We look forward to seeing you next time.